Blog Talk Radio.
But we are making a stand, and we're waking everybody up that 9/11 was an inside job. And you are the minority. You are the cowards who don't know the truth. You're the people that serve this evil system. You're the people that serve a system that hurts innocent men, women, and children. Not just Iraqis, not just Afghans, not just Africans, but the people right here in this nation. You serve a new world order that attacks and feeds on you. And I'm here to tell you that you will be defeated. Your hours are numbered. We've got the energy. We've got the life force. All you've got is evil backing you up. All you've got is greed and liking to look at yourself in the mirror. Because deep down, the New World Order is a pot-bellied, chicken-necked ninny. And all the armor and all the weapons are nothing. You are nothing compared to good. You are nothing compared to life. And you will be defeated. I want the individuals out there, I want free humanity to turn themselves loose, to cut the chains loose, and to use the end of that chain to slap the New World Order right upside the head. You've got the power. You want to know who can defeat the New World Order? It is you. You're the individuals that are going to be able to defeat this system. You're the individuals that are going to be able to take down the New World Order. It doesn't matter if Ron Paul wins. It doesn't matter if they rig the election. What matters is that we're starting to stand up. We're starting to move. We're starting to find our legs. We're starting to build our muscles. We're starting to realize that we do have power, and we can work together, and we can take action, and that the naysayers are a pack of weak liars who have never had any successes in their life and who are upset and frustrated to see us beginning to have victories against tyranny. They don't have any respect for themselves. They don't have any vision. And they don't have any will. And they sure don't have any of the power that shines out of God's soul and energizes all life in the universe. They have wed themselves to death. And they will crumble and they will fall. And for eternity, we wed ourselves to life. And to everything good, and everything that flows from it.
Understood, initial run. Roger. BCS arm switch is on.
Okay, Victor.
Landing rocket arm switch is on. Here comes the throttle. Circuit breakers in.
We have separation.
Inboard and outboard, you're on. We're coming forward with the side stick.
Looks good.
Roger. I've got a blowout. Number three.
Pitch your pitch to zero.
Pitch is out. I can't hold out the
two. Direction out.
Astronaut. A man barely alive. Gentlemen, we can rebuild him. We have the technology. We have the capability to make the world's first bionic man. Steve Austin will be that man. Better than he was before. Better. Stronger. Faster.
All right, everybody, how you doing? My name is Joseph Gibson. Blog Talk Radio, 100% live, a little after 6 p.m. on the East Coast. I'm broadcasting from Greensboro, North Carolina. How's everybody doing tonight? I hope you're happy, well, and doing fine. I know the past few shows we've had, we've really looked into some very powerful stories addressing CPS. We've tried to call the White House several times in the past. We've addressed even personal issues among some of my supporters this past month. Things that may, you know, should not have been spoken on the radio or may should have. We don't, you know, what's done is done. Hopefully there's been some things that have been brought to light. And hopefully everyone's happy And life is too short to hold grudges against one another. And some of us expect certain things. And, you know, each of us need to understand what the other person expects and understands, because it's not just about you. And we've talked about this on this show many times, especially when we've addressed the younger generation that is so darn lost. We remember my nephew Alex this past year who went into the Army. We had him on this show before he went into the Army. And if you all remember when I interviewed him and asked him, you know, as he, you know, because that was a big deal for the family, he was going into the Army. He couldn't put together more than three words, like most younger people today, because all they're doing is text messaging each other. They don't know how to talk on the phone. They don't know how to communicate with each other. You know, he was 18 years old, and this is my nephew I'm talking about, and I say it like it is. If anyone gets mad, too darn bad. But we have already addressed this, and we understand. And we know when Alex was on this program, what'd he do? He couldn't put together a sentence. How you doing? Well, why are you joining the Army? I don't know. We couldn't understand him. But here we are. We interviewed him after his graduation, after he finished boot camp, and guess what? He's a human being. He's not a zombie anymore. He can talk. He can put together three or four or five words at a time. You see? Isn't that great? He can talk to us now. He's not a public school idiot, because that's what our schools turn out today, idiots. And if those of you don't understand what I'm talking about, go back and listen to those archive shows. The poor kid couldn't put together a sentence. I had him down here in North Carolina, tried to teach him how to work. The poor kid didn't even know how to start a weed whacker, you know? Didn't know nothing about life. Nothing. Nothing. Couldn't pick up a shovel and dig a hole if his life counted on it. He would have passed out, had a heart attack. But now he's in the Army. He's slimmed down. He's 180 pounds, 6'2". Strong, smart. Maybe the Army is the only way for these kids nowadays, because they sure as hell ain't getting in our school system. We know that. That's for sure. But Alex, who's stationed in Fort Hood, Texas right now, checks in with his show from time to time. And he's been listening. He listened last week, and he's listening tonight. So he says, you know, he's on. He can't talk at certain times because, you know, they have rules on the base and they have certain job duties. But he's able to listen, so that's great. So I'd like to say hello to my nephew Alex out there from Fort Hood, Texas right now. He's on the base, and he's doing what he's making something of his life. You know, before he went into the Army, he was looking for a job at Burger King or McDonald's. I told him, no. You know, this is the best thing for him, because he comes from a broken family. He has no guidance. He had nobody to learn from. Like I said, he came down here in the summer. I tried to teach him how to work. You know, like I grew up on the dairy farm when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, you know, getting up and working every day. And, you know, I loved it. I loved working. I didn't want to go to school. I'd rather work on the farm. To hell with school. They weren't teaching me nothing. But, you know, Alex was down here and he just couldn't. He just, you know, I tried to teach him the best I could. I believe he learned a lot. But he was only here for about 30 days, and you know, it takes more time than that. When you spent 17 years sitting on a couch watching TV, it's hard to reverse that in 30 days. You know, it's still very difficult. But another issue. Remember our last guest we had on, Rebecca, with that CPS case? Well, there's been developments in her case, folks. Apparently, because she talked with me and a couple other media outlets, she has now, under a court order, not to talk to any media outlets any longer about her case, or they will suspend her visitation with her child. Can you believe that? They have now put her under a gag order because she was here on Blog Talk Radio and she spoke with the on social media and she's been conversing. I have no contact with her any longer on social media. They blocked us, I guess. And I mean, I don't know for certain if I'm able to contact her. I talked to Terry LaPointe, and this is just disgusting. Disgusting. Where do we live? Nazi Germany? Papers, please. You're not allowed to talk to any type of media outlets. You're not allowed to use the internet anymore. So says the black-robed priest. The judge. You call him judge. I call him the black-robed priest. That's what he is. His little messianic ritual that they have. Surprised they don't have checkerboard squares in all those courtrooms. And we all know what checkerboard squares mean. We saw them on taxi cabs years ago. What does it mean? Traveler. That's what Masons are, travelers. They travel. Ask a Mason sometime what traveler means. Okay? That's why they got those checkerboard squares on taxi cabs, and they got them in a lot of Masonic lodges, those checkerboard floors, where they do their Masonic rituals. My dad was a Mason. He's a good man, somebody told me. Oh, yeah, I'm sure he was. You know? But when you start going up to 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 degrees, and you get to those 20 degrees and higher and higher, let me tell you something. When they start running around naked in the woods performing their little sexual perverted acts, that's what these high-degree Masons do. He's not a good man, all right? Look up Adam Weissman. You'll learn a lot about what he was about. These Masons are not good people. They claim to be friends of the community. They claim, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the higher degree Masons, they use these lower degree Masons. And we're not going to get into the Masons and all that tonight, but I'm just throwing that out there because we're talking about a judge right now who ordered a gag order on Rebecca, who was my guest last week. She's not allowed anymore to come on to this program or any other programs. Or she'll be held in contempt. Can anyone look up the word contempt and tell me if that's an actual charge? If that's an actual violation? If that's an actual violation of public law or public policy? No, it is not. Contempt is a motion. It's a feeling, contempt. And it's the judge's obligation to promote that feeling, and that's why he's able to have that authority, but he technically doesn't. Remember, judges are not immune from being arrested either. Arrest their bond, people. Arrest their bond. Look up what I'm talking about. Get into this. Understand de facto and de jure. The de jure and the de facto. Understand. Before you can understand what de jure and de facto is, you need to go back to the beginning. When you read a book, you don't start in the middle, do you? You don't start at the end. You start from the beginning, right? Well, that's how you have to look up history of this country and what has happened. You have to start at the beginning. After the Civil War, the country obviously was in bad shape. The Reconstruction Act. Look up the Reconstruction Act. That's when it all began. When Congress walked out, and that Congress never took their seats again, so therefore Congress really doesn't and is not in existence today legally as a de jure government. And you may say, well, what the hell are you talking about? Well, go back and look it up. Look up the Reconstruction Acts. You got the internet, Google it. You have the library at your fingertips. Look it up. Understand. Okay? And then when the Federal Reserve was created in the year 1910, enacted in 1913, took them less than 20 years to bankrupt, well, a little like 20 years to bankrupt this country. In the year 1929, this country was bankrupted completely. And in 1933, they crowned it as a success, their one world order. That's why they put it on your dollar bill in 1933. Look at that that pyramid on your dollar bill with the all-seeing eye. And underneath, what's it say? Novus Ordo Seclorum. One world order in Greek. Look it up. I'm not lying here. Look it up. And you carry it around your pocket every day. That's your receipt for the debt. Because you are the debt. You were purchased the day you were born. That's why you are subjected to CPS. That is why you are a slave. That's why you're not allowed to own a home. You're given a warranty deed after you pay it off. Look up warranty deed. You're a tenant. You're a tenant to the city and county. You have to pay taxes. That's why you pay taxes. Okay? When you buy a car, you're given a certificate of title, not the origin of title. Two different things. Look it up. Back to your property. That's why you're not given a land allodial or land patent. You're given a warranty deed because you're renting to the king. The king. Look it up. It sounds funny, but it's true. We all got to pay taxes. How else are we supposed to pave the roads? Look, they got a machine that prints the money. It's called the Federal Reserve. They print it. Look up your CAPA reports. Look up the CAPA report for your state, even. You will see that most states have a surplus of hundreds of billions of dollars. Tell me, for instance, as an example real quick here, the state of North Carolina, they have an annual budget of $85 billion, I believe it is. Okay, we're in the negative, but yet we get a snowstorm that cost the state another $53 million. Spent our money for the budget, for the annual budget, so where are they getting this money from? Where does it come from? Out of thin air? Yes. They print it. Okay, so the state's not broke. All right? You know, like there's an emergency. A hurricane hits Florida. It costs $50 billion to clean up the damage. Where do they get the money from? They already have their annual budget. What's this money socked away in a drawer someplace? No. They print it. They print it. They go to the United States Treasury Department and they say that we need this, blah, blah, blah. They sign over a few more Treasury bonds. They sign you over. What do you mean me? Some people are saying, what do you mean me? You were bought the day you were born. Look at your birth certificate. Right-hand corner, there's all a series of numbers, usually in red. Sometimes, I know years ago, you used to be able to go to Fidelity.com, type those numbers in. Or go to any stockbroker, type those numbers in, and you'll see you're being traded with on Wall Street. Okay? You were bought the day you were born. There is so much more to this. And a lot of people wanted me to talk about this and touch more about this. And it's very difficult because you don't know where to begin. The rabbit hole is so deep. But then you ask, why can't I receive justice in the courts? Why when I sue, I don't get my, you know, it takes years and years and years. Why are these people taking our children? Why? Go back and look it up. Understand your history. You've been bought. You are a slave. You're not free. They act like you're free. We all talk about constitutional this, constitutional rights. I have my rights. I pay my taxes. The idiot who says I pay my taxes is a real idiot. One guy was in line with me once at the grocery store. Some woman was paying with a food stamp card. See, that's my tax dollars, though. No, it doesn't. It's not a card. It's all digitized. It's all digits. The taxes don't go anywhere towards that. Come on. Look up the Federal Reserve Act. Look up money mechanics. Understand where the money is originated from. There's no such thing as real money, sound money. It's a fiat currency. Fiat currency. It's fake. They're receipts. You're given a receipt for the debt. You are the debt. You need to understand this. And when you look really deep and understand this, you'll understand why it is so difficult for you to obtain rights to the Federal Reserve enforcers, the police departments, the municipalities, the courts, these courthouses, the banks. Those are the real banks, those courthouses. You know how much money goes through each courthouse every day? How much money, how much Federal Reserve notes go through these courthouses? Just go sit in traffic court one day and listen to the fines that are given out and all the money that's collected. Again, I say money, but they're Federal Reserve notes. It's not real money. It's not sound money. They're Federal Reserve notes. Says it right on each dollar bill paper piece of paper you have in your pocket right now. Federal Reserve note. It's a note. It's a receipt. Well, we all call it money, and that's the first deception right there. Okay? Just go sit in traffic court. Where is all these Federal Reserve notes going that they collect? Look it up. It's pretty scary when you find out where it actually goes. Sure as hell ain't going to pave the roads, at least not around here. All the damn potholes they got in these back roads. But anyway, you know, there's no real scheduled guest tonight. I'm going to do a 60-minute show tonight, at least try to stay around 60 minutes. And I'm going to take anybody who wants to contribute tonight. And like I said, I wanted to call, actually, before it got too late. I know I got one caller already that wants to check in. But I did look up a phone number because I want to blast this governor's office for this gag order because this is unconstitutional. How could you make a court order where someone is not allowed to talk to any type of media outlet or use the internet? How can they do this? Well, I just explained a lot of it to you, actually. I really did. And I know it sounds crazy. But when you're against the ropes and you have nowhere to turn or look or fight anymore, people start to listen. I've got one number right now. I'm going to go ahead and dial it right now. Hopefully I can make contact with a human being. Let's try it.
You have reached the Constituent Services Division in the Executive Office of Governor Rick Snyder. If this is an emergency, please hang up and dial 911. If you've reached our office between our normal business hours of Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. through 5 p.m., our staff is currently on the other line assisting other callers. Please leave a voicemail with your name, phone number, and how we may assist you, and a staff member will contact you just as soon as we can. Thanks and have a great day.
Yes, I'm leaving a voicemail. My name is Joseph Gibson. I'm calling from Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/Joseph Gibson, understanding the times in which we live in today. And I'm actually making a complaint. I've read the story, several stories about how judges can issue gag orders on individuals who are going through a certain CPS case. I'm not going to give any names to that case. I'd rather not recite that over a voicemail. However, you can reach me, or someone from your office can reach me during show hours. Okay, Sundays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thursdays, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The phone number is 657-383-0616. You press 1 and I'll connect you. I have a lot of questions and a lot of my listeners have questions for you, sir, your office, or constituents. Or you can email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. I fully anticipate and I respect a remedy or some sort of response from your office. And again, we are live on the air right now, and I'm voicing this voicemail live on the air. So many people are listening tonight, and I hope someone from your office does contact me. Again, if you may contact me through my email, that is fine, joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. And I will talk to you particularly about this case in detail. I don't wish to talk in detail over a voicemail recorded system or give any names or case numbers. So I'm sure you can respect that. Thank you. Have a good night. They are now muted. They'll hang up whenever they can. I'm not going to press a hang up. So we left a message for the governor's office here tonight. And I've got one caller already on the line, so we're going to connect them right now. Sorry, I'm a little delayed here. The phone system is a little slow. But, okay, Joe from Meriden, how you doing?
Spreckensy Dirch. Good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. What'd you think of that? I left a message for the governor. Hey, at least I got a voicemail, right?
That's good, and you're doing exactly what I do. When I get this spam mail, and it comes constantly, and I write to their hosting provider and their domain servicer account, I write them the email, as I explained previously, and I'm charging them a fee of $150 for every future email received. And I put in that documentation that I write them that I have their tacit agreement that they will pay any invoice without further notice from me. And if not paid within 10 days, additional fees and charges will be incurred. So what I've told them is that they don't have to respond to me there because they're already agreeing that they're going to pay me. So then what you do is when you can get it up to a couple $1,000s, which is only two or three emails because you've got those other fees on there, you get a collection agency to purchase it from you, and you let them go after them.
Yeah, sure.
Right.
I understand.
And you were talking about that gag order and everything, and I think it goes along with something else that I had to say previously. Didn't her attorney make a motion to set aside that judge's verdict? And I think not, because the attorneys and the judges are both on the same side of the bench.
Well, there was an article. It's complicated. I read the article, and for me to read the entire article, it would be impossible. But, yeah, they issued a gag order. Remember, she stated that she had a court hearing coming up this week, and she was hoping to have some justice, seek some justice. And apparently, because she talked to me, and apparently her social media received a lot of attention. I don't know if it was because of my show or not. I'm not trying to take credit for anything, but obviously she talked to me on Sunday, and her next court date she was told not to talk to any media anymore. So,
right. Because what I'm saying is, OJ got off because he got the money, even though the attorneys are working for the same side of the law the judges are. No, the attorneys and the judges are both on the same side of the bench. And if you're poor and indigent or you're not a multimillionaire, the odds of you winning are slim to none.
That's true.
You were talking about CAFR, the comprehensive annual financial reports that most every town, every state has, which are the books that they don't show the public.
That's true. Well, they do
right.
show. Well, they do. Well, they do show the public. They don't announce it. What it is, the public
exactly.
has to be aware, and they're not.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. It's not like they're hiding it, but they're not going to tell you about it.
Exactly.
Right.
Like, for instance, state of North Carolina back in 2008, when they were crying broke, the state of North Carolina had an $89 billion surplus. But yet we were broke in a depression.
Right. You're right about them printing the money, too. But from what I understand, and I don't understand much at all about this, the comprehensive annual financial reports are the reports for a city, town, or state looking forward 10, 20, 30, 50 years. So in other words, they've already got the money spent that you're going to pay them 50 years from now, because that's what's part of that CAFR report. So if they need extra money now, what they do is instead of going shopping on Tuesday, they go on Wednesday.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true. And you can see what I got when I called the governor's office, a voicemail, and that's fine. But they know now I called, and they're like, oh, wow, he was live on the air. So I'll probably get a response, and I hope so. And maybe one of their constituents will contact my program during show. Or you know what they'll do is they'll probably issue me a statement, which I have seen before. They'll issue me a statement or a comment through the email. We don't do this, blah, blah, blah. If you want to schedule an appointment with the governor, you got to contact such and such a person, blah, blah, blah. But thank you for contacting the governor. We're always willing to listen, something like that,
Right.
At least we made an attempt.
You started off with the Federal Reserve Act that they actually passed. I believe it was on a snowy Christmas Eve at that time, so nobody knew about it. The first time it went through, they advertised it, and And since all the politicians wanted it and everything like this, they didn't pass it. But then they put up a big stink, and they had all the bankers and everybody go against it. And of course, if the bankers don't want it, then it must be good for the people. So that's why it passed. And
that's true.
Again, a number of months ago, on www.myfilefarm.com, there's a number of audios, myfilefarm.com, from I forgot the guy's name, but his audio books are there concerning the Federal Reserve and how money comes into existence, and it's free for you to download and listen to, and I have the author's permission to put it up there.
Oh, you do? Well, that's good. And you're talking about what, the creature from Jekyll Island?
Yes, exactly. There's another one up, and there's another one up there that he did too, an audio book. You probably got a good, I don't know, 12 hours or more of audios up there from him concerning money and where it comes from.
Well, and this is something that the people will have to do on their own, because let me tell you, and we know everyone's so busy nowadays, and they can't go in, and we can't do this, we can't do that, and you know, we don't have time for this, blah, blah, blah. You know, we're not going to be able to post something like that live on the radio. But we did try to contact. Go ahead.
They can go right to My File Farm. They could download the MP3s, or they could just click on a link, and it'll play through their browser.
Well, I sent some messages out tonight to several people. They're willing to check in tonight, and I've dealt with so many CPS cases right now. I'm starting to get confused with the amount of people I've dealt with, and they really need to keep staying in touch. But as far as this court order, this gag order that the guest we had on Sunday is not allowed to talk to any media or allowed to post anything about her case on any social media is absolutely unconstitutional. I mean, where do we live today? Nazi Germany? This is crazy. This is insane.
Yes, it is. Just goes to show you that they want to hide something.
Bingo. They want to hide. They flipped out. Obviously, she was on my show Sunday evening, and she went to court on the 20th this week, and guess what? She's told, don't you talk to any other media.
That's right.
What's that tell you? They must have been listening. They must have been listening, or we pissed somebody off. And you know what? I don't have a gag order. And that's why we called the governor tonight. And I want to hear from them. Or I'll call them again. I'll call them again next show. Because I want to hear. I want to know why. I want to know why the governor has the authority. Because the governor is in charge of CPS and all those types of administrative buildings in his state. The governor is in charge. So I want to know why a judge was allowed to make an unconstitutional ruling against this defendant, which she should not be a defendant because she hasn't been charged with anything, but yet she's still considered a defendant. And I want to know why, because I cannot find anywhere in the law books where a court has the authority. Now, in a criminal case, a judge does have authority because it becomes a matter of life and liberty where someone could be in danger. Like if I'm a witness in a mafia trial or something like that, yes, he can tell me, we don't want you talking about it, because there's witnesses that are confidential and they can't, you know, I can understand that. But in a civil case, in an administrative court, This is not right. This is not right. It makes no sense. It really doesn't.
You're absolutely correct about that. And it's like I said, there must be something's going on. They don't want her, or they don't want said again.
Yes, 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 I know. And I may have actually sent her a message by accident telling her if you want to check in, you can tonight. I know she's under court order, so I know she can't. But I was actually trying to contact the individual with the Seven Angels. He was a guest a few weeks ago. We've had a lot of guests on this show in the past few weeks addressing this issue, and a lot of people have messaged me on social media saying, thank you, we appreciate, you know, your show. And the captain, he's another Blog Talk radio show host, has also addressed this issue. So I want to thank the people out there that posted this stuff about me. And if anyone wants to contribute tonight or talk about an issue, or even something different than from what we're talking about, all you have to do is dial 657-383-0616 and you press 1 and I'll connect you. And if you want to offer your support to the show, or if you disagree with me, I've had people call in. They've disagreed with me. I got called a Howard Stern wannabe one time. And if we remember a few weeks ago, they told me I support ISIS. I got a bunch of crank calls that night. So what that was about, I don't know. But I do have another caller, and I take priority to my supporters. So I'm going to
just say one thing. Let me just say one thing first. If the captain has an archive of his shows besides on Blog Talk, I'd like to know where they are, because trying to find anything consistently on Blog Talk is frustrating at best because of the ads and pop-ups and the way it scrolls and everything. I really can't seem to find anything current. So if he's listening or he hears this and he has an archive out there somewhere, please let us know. I'd like to listen to him.
Okay, I will. And I got Joe from Florida that wants to check in tonight. And this is good because he's a supporter of the program. And we haven't heard from him in a while. So hopefully he's connecting. Hopefully. I don't know. His system may be. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, I'm here, Joe.
No, you see, when I click on your number, if the system is messing up, I'll get like this round circle spinning for a while until I get the mic icon. And it didn't give me that icon. That's why I say, oh, are you there? Are you there? But now I got the icon, and, of course, I can hear you. But how you doing tonight in Florida? How's everything going?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. I'd like to say hello to everybody on Blog Radio. And this is something that is more or less dear to my heart, okay? It's my dog, okay? I got a little story to tell you, and then what I saw on TV on how they passed the bill. Basically, Michael is the one that called me up one day and said, Dad, the people want to get rid of a boxer. And they're almost down to Fort Lauderdale. And I said, oh, okay, I'll call them. He gave me the number, and I called the people. Oh, sure, we got a great big dog, and he's a beauty. Okay, I went down. I saw the husband and the wife, and I didn't know it at the time, but it looked like they were splitting up. But I talked to both the man and the woman, and they had this boxer. What I found out about him, I started looking into it, and what I found out about the boxer was that he was a boxer. He was a military dog. The guy had him in Vietnam. He brought him back. Of course, the guy was having some sort of trouble with his health, and he finally died. So the people that took the dog couldn't train him because he didn't understand the commands that they were giving him. He was using military commands. So,
okay.
Well, what happened was I took the dog, and I asked her about the dog. His name was Daniel, and the dog always wanted to run away. Well, I cured him of that with a shocker. I shocked him once, he turned around and came back, and that was the end of his running away.
You mean a shock collar, correct?
Right, a shock collar.
Okay, all right, I understand.
You can adjust it to where you want it. So I've been looking for something. When I take the dog for a walk and there's two dogs or other dogs, let's say there's two dogs fighting, he would stop them from fighting. My friend up the street, one day he said, hey, Joe, let's put our two dogs together and let's see which one wins. I said, come on, Pat.
Oh, my Lord.
Danny would chew your dog up. He started across the field, across his property, of course, and blah, 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 blah. Well, he lost his wife, He basically was a nice guy, except that he drank his breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Okay, so that left him out a little bit. But I was out walking a dog here in Florida. When cold weather starts to come, other animals, okay, the bobcat, a bobcat actually comes down, and they want to clean up the rabbits in the area. Well, I put a little gun in my pocket and go for a walk. There was this dog, and the guy was an old-timer, and he was trying to kick the dog away from him. And then when the dog saw Danny and me, he left that guy and come over to me. Well, I cupped the gun in my hand, and I said, God, I don't want to shoot the dog. Maybe if I just shoot in the air. And there was the dog snarling and trying to get at me. Well, Danny was watching. All of a sudden, Danny ran at the other dog and hit him with his chest, knocking him flying. And I said, "Oh, thank heaven!"
That's how boxers actually fight. They hit with their chest. They don't fight.
Yeah, that's exactly what he done.
Yeah,
right. That's exactly what he done. Then I heard something behind me, a car motor going. It was a cop. I said,
"Oh boy!"
I'm glad he didn't catch the gun. Well, he didn't see the gun. It was a very small 5-shot .22. So,
okay.
I said, "Did you see what my dog done?" He said, "Yeah, that's pretty good." Well, Danny got known by most of the people. In fact, Danny died, and then I had to. I had another dog. A new dog now that I'm training. And it's, a boxer and a bulldog. And he walks with a swagger and all of that nonsense. But getting to the interesting part, I was watching TV. I was watching Court Session on TV, and they were taking, people were ranting and raving about the servicemen coming back with PTSD, and they voted to give a trained dog to all veterans coming back so that they could have something to rely on. This year is because of so many people killing themselves. You know,
that's true.
And,
You're absolutely correct. That is what you're saying is, for those of you out there, this is 100% correct. The VA will give these vets a service dog to be a companion with them because of their PTSD. So what you're saying is
right
true,
you
Joe.
Are. Right you are. I watched it on TV, so I know that it's true. And I said, well, that might be something interesting for the net. So the only other thing that I have, Joe, if I might mention it, why don't you or someone else tell other people about your net, your blog net? That way you'd be getting more people.
You mean the link to the show?
No. What I'm doing is I give them the phone number. Dial the number and listen to it. If you want to talk. If you don't. That's it.
You're absolutely correct. And Joe, that's why I ask a lot of my supporters, hey, if you're on Facebook, you know what? Give them the phone number. Listen, if you got a problem or you have something to say, like Joe just said, I give everyone ample time. You can call in. You know, say what you got to say, and you know, that's what this forum is about, whether it's supporters, families, friends, or guests that we've had recently. But, Joe, real quick, how's your hip doing? We know you got a broken hip. Can you give us a little bit of update on that?
Yeah. There's a couple of girls that come down, and they give me a bath. Okay? That's point one. There is another person come down, and he gives me some sort of, information on how to walk, how to protect yourself, and everything. The staples that are in the hip have melted already, so that part of it is gone. I have another one from the hip going down to the knee, which is a stainless steel rod. And that
okay.
is still there. I still hear it. Okay? Not hear it clicking, but my knee clicks a little bit from time to time.
And people, and Joe, how did this happen? How did this happen? Because we all know when we get older, hey, a broken hip, that's pretty damn serious. So,
Don't you have metal on your arm as well?
Yeah, I do. I got 4 plates and 3 nails in my arm, Joe.
Yeah. And that 22 you were carrying, was that a Sterling?
Yeah, I think it was. 5 shot.
Do you know where you got that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just as long as you remember, because I still do.
Yeah. They're selling them now in California too. So other than that.
Go ahead, Joe.
My 3030 was $84, brand spanking new.
Well, we know they don't cost that much today.
You got that right. You got that right.
Go ahead, Joe. Close it out for me.
As a quick rundown, I would bring the mail in from the house, from the mailbox, and I started to have a seizure, dizziness. So I put my cane in back of me, so it's more or less to steady myself. And what happened was I kept on going. And my arm hit the window of my car. If the window happened to be cracked, well, it's nothing yet. If the window happened to be cracked or if it was rough, I would have been in worse trouble. It did rough it up quite a bit, but it and broke a tendon in my arm way up near the top. And then I said to myself, on my back. So I went on my back, and my head hit the tire of my car. So after laying there for long, I decided I gotta find out what's wrong. I tried to move, and the pain was something else. And then I started calling Tom, which is the boy across the street. He came out. He's a medic in the service. And he looked at it. He touched it. Now, wow. He says, okay, it's busted. We'll call the police, and they'll call the ambulance. So that was it. I'm walking. I have a wheelchair, and I have an ambulatory vehicle, okay, with 4 legs on it and 2 wheels. That way I can get around. So what I do is walk around with the dog. I brought the dog back. a little mutt, okay, like I said. He's a bulldog and a boxer combination.
But he's your best friend.
Yes, he is. And it cost me $895 for 2 months at the person that he was boarding with. It's a business. $895 for a month. But he'll be a good dog someday with enough training. So, Joe, that's all I've got to say. I'm just going to say hello to everybody up there. And back to you, sir.
Thank you, Joe from Sebastian, Florida, one of the supporters of the show. He had a broken hip. I muted him. He's muted now, but he's still listening. And that was Joe from Sebastian, Florida. Yeah, he suffered a broken hip, and none of us knew about it. He disappeared on us for so long, and you know, I was asking, hey, what happened to Joe in Florida? And if anyone knows who's been listening to this program, I constantly said that, you know, where'd he go? What happened? You know, and but nobody told me. Finally, he called in one night, and he told us what happened. So I wish the family out there, if you knew about this, you know, don't keep us in the dark when these things happen, because, you know, some of us were, you know, a little bit concerned here and wondering, you know, because we don't know what happened. We can only guess or assume. But if anyone else wants to contribute real quick, if you got a question or you want to talk or you got something to say, you know, I've got about 40 people on the phone line. I've already had Joe check in. I had Joe and Meredith check in. The phone number is 657-383-0616. You got to press 1. But to touch base one more time on the main issue here that I wanted to bring up, our last guest has been is now under court order not to talk to any media. Whether or not that has to do with this program, I do not know. But I know she talked in depth about her court case this week. And she's been going to court and battling with CPS for years now. And all of a sudden, after she was on my program, she is now under court order not to have any contact with any media. So I'm not sure. We've called the governor's office. We're going to seek answers on this. I will be on this. I found out an hour before the show tonight. Actually, I was sent an email from Terry LaPointe, who is a writer for Medical Kidnap and for Health Impact News, medicalkidnap.com. She was a guest on this show a few months ago. So we've had prominent people on this program. This program obviously is getting attention of a lot of people, and that's great because the media is power. If we're all going to contribute, and that's why I ask my supporters, always call in, check in. Hey, I'm on the air. Check in. Because you know what? One day you may need our voice. Because the media is power, okay? People's opinions is power still in America. We're not Nazi Germany 100% yet, but we're getting there. So that's why the media is so important. That's why it's so important for all of us continue to support programs like this. Because like I said, one day you may need a voice. You may be in trouble. You may be targeted, whether it be by CPS, your doctors, the police, the tax department, whatever. We have connections. We've had people on this program. We had the former president of Canada on this program. We had the Constitutional Party on this program a few weeks ago. I wish Joe would have heard that program. We had the Constitutional Party on this program. They're going to be running for president. Okay? They're going to be running for president of this country. It's kind of like the Green Party. Okay? Yeah, after this GOP nonsense gets all sorted out, and then we get the independents in there, and we get all these other candidates in there who are going to run for president. These gentlemen were on this program live, and we gave them a chance to talk about what they're going to do for this country. Imagine that. We may have had the future president of this country on this program. Yeah, we know the Constitutional Party isn't talked about on Fox News a lot, but yeah, you never know. Okay? We know we had the former prime minister on this program, so we have obviously made some sort of stride here. Over the past 9 months, we've been on the air. We've had prominent guests on this program. And I always invite everyone, whatever your issue is, no matter how small or how important it is, you're allowed to come on to this program. A few weeks ago, I was so overbooked, I lost a few guests. They went on to other programs. I just couldn't get everybody on. But my supporters are always welcome. I always make sure I make time for them, especially family and friends, because you guys are the ones that made this program important to begin with. Because without you, we would have never got where we're at. I remember back in October, I'm going to get these individuals back on soon. Not just another number, the nonprofit organization in Connecticut that addresses Connecticut inmates who are abused in the prison system. Okay? They've been on local media. They are known in the state of Connecticut, not just another number. We're going to get them on. So, we have connections now thanks to you, and that's what this show is all about, because I didn't have a scheduled guest. I probably could have pushed and got a few people on tonight, but I wanted to have an open mic night where I can get some other stories in here. And I wanted to talk about this gag order. Because you know what? When we hang up tonight, let's not forget where we are. We're in America. We're in a country that is in trouble. It's not like it was when we were growing up. And that goes for Joe and Joe. That goes for Elizabeth Rondo in Wallingford, Connecticut, who's, maybe not feeling well, who's sick. She's listening tonight, too. You know, this isn't the country you grew up in. Don't you care what land or country you're going to leave your children and grandchildren? Don't you care? You know? I mean, do you want to see another civil war? We need to wake up here. You say, what can I do? What can I do? Listen, you're able to talk on the phone, aren't you? You got the internet at your house, don't you? You got your iPhone. Pick up a phone. Call somebody. Complain. Listen, you don't got to solve the world's problems. But look what we did tonight. We called the governor's office. Hey, we gave it a shot. Imagine if everyone did that. Everyone. We all contributed together. Imagine, we can make a change. We all sit around complaining, woe's me, woe's me. Things need to be different. Whoa, whoa, look at me. I'm not feeling well. I'm sick, blah, blah, blah. Look. I'm giving you an outlet here that is archived worldwide. We have thousands of downloads of this program. Your voices have been heard across the country, across the globe. I had people in Europe wanting to contact this program. We did a show a couple months ago. However, it's up to them to contact me. I cannot, they can reach me through email free, but I cannot spend the money to contact them and not know what they're going to talk about. I'm sorry for the people in Europe that are listening. You really need to spend the dollar to call into this program, whether I will give you priority or email me and tell me a message to say, and I'll give people the link to contact you through Twitter or Facebook. But I'm working here on a low budget. It's bad enough I pay for this broadcast so everyone can get a voice, and I don't ask for any donations or any support in return, and nor would I accept any. It's no big deal. We have fun. We're getting the word out, and that's what it's all about. What else would you be doing right now if you were not listening to me or talking to me? What? Is it that? Would you really be doing anything that important? Come on. So instead, you got to listen to Joe tonight tell his story. He suffered a broken hip. You got him. You listen to his story. We listen to Joe and Meriden. Sometimes we get Mike out in Wisconsin who talks. We get Peter out in San Diego, California, who contributes a lot. We had our guest, Rebecca, and I talked about her case tonight. And she's suffering. She's without her children. She's without her child tonight. She still has her 8-year-old with her. But you know what? Her lawyers have bankrupted her. The courts have done everything they can do to destroy her financially. She sleeps in her truck now. Goes to work from her truck with her child. Because they took her teenager, because they screwed up with a medical diagnosis, because doctors don't cure anything. They can fix things, they can treat symptoms, but they don't cure anything. Because you want to know why? They can't. They're told not to. Like I told you the story about me having a landscaping business. Do you think I'm going to pull up to my customer's lawn and tell them how not to grow their grass? So I would mow it less and less and less. No. I'm going to fertilize it. I'm going to seed it so I can mow it more and more and make more money. Being honest, that's what I would do, right? Wouldn't you? You're in a business. You're trying to make money. Am I doing anything wrong? No, I'm just making more money. I'm making their grass grow greener and greener and taller and faster. But am I going to go there and tell them, hey, you know, there's stuff you could put on your grass where, you know, it'll look good, but I won't have to come out here once a month and mow it. Hell no. Right? Well, what makes you think a doctor is any different? He wants you to come back. More pills. You're sicker, and then when you're dead. The next one's waiting in the door. I'll connect one more caller right now, and then we need to start wrapping it up. I'm going to go ahead and connect Mike from Wisconsin. Go ahead, Mike. Are you there?
Hey, Joe. Good evening.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Pretty good. You know, I was sitting here and listening to the show, and I'm thinking, you know, you're talking about, you know, doctors and things like that. You know, years ago, people used to put away what is called a rainy day fund. You know what I mean? If you know what I'm talking about.
I heard about it. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember.
Well, the reason I'm bringing this up is we had a family member that went down to Disney World, you know, with their four children. And they came back, and of course they had a wonderful time, and they stayed right there on Disney. But it was like they spent like $6,000, $7,000, something like that.
Oh my lord!
It's $299 a night for the hotel, and you know,
wow,
everything in in Disney. If you want to buy a soda, it's like $3.99. I mean, $4. That's just for sodas. I mean, but you know what I'm saying. You're captive, so the prices are what they are. But
that's
what
right.
What I'm trying to get at is, you know, my grandmother, your grandmother, Nana. You know, we used to say, let's go somewhere. Let's go do something. And she used to say, I can open a book, and read about it, and be there. You know, and of course, when we were young like that, we thought that was funny, okay, fine. But you know what? If you think about it, you know, she had a rainy day fund. How many people in this world nowadays have a rainy day fund? You know, or I don't even have to call it that. How many people are saving for the future, or you know. I mean, I have a retirement, you know.
Or Mike would be destitute if they couldn't get next week's paycheck. You know?
Nowadays, they're not saving for their future. They're saving everything they can to go on vacation in 3 months and spend everything they've saved.
There, yep. You got it. Yep.
But Mike, real quick, listen. I'm not rushing anybody, but listen, we can analyze this all day long. We know the problems. How do we reverse it?
I don't really know how we could. I mean, you know, it just like you were talking about Alex, before he was kind of lost and, you know, didn't know his way. And, well, he went into the army there, and look at him now. He's a nice young man. Polite and courteous.
Well spoken, yeah.
And that, see, Joe said it before. Everyone today wants instant gratification. It has to be instant. There is no idea of hard work. You have to work for 10, 20, or 30 years to be able to sit back and relax. Today, if they work for 3 weeks, they think they're due a new car.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, try to get them to come to work without having to take their cigarette breaks or find them in the corner.
Well, you know what it's about, Mike? You know, you just said it, Mike. It's about sacrifice. None of us today are willing to sacrifice what our time, what we have for the next person. And listen, I'm not saying go out and donate everything you have and give to the poor like Mother Teresa and work as a missionary, but you know what I mean, people. You know, what did someone say to me today? I was picking my son up at school. Yeah, I'm picking my son up at school, and I got another family member picking up my niece at the same time. Why can I not pick up my niece at the same time and we save a car and gas? Why can't we work together as a team? Because none of us want to, you know.
Nobody works together as a team anymore. And that's my standpoint, and it's always been that standpoint, that no one really understands or works as a team. And if there are any family members out there in need of money, and you can tell me, show me that you actually need it, I'll give it to you absolutely free.
The problem is, Joe, they don't need it. They don't, because everyone out there can survive just fine. Give up the internet. Give up that cell phone, get out there, work for it, and then guess what? It's yours, and you can say, look what I've done, and then you pass that on to your grandchildren, your children, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, if you're opportunity enough to live that long. And you know what? You can pass something down, but like Mike was saying, he talked about our grandparents. You know, what did my great-grandmother, Nana, always do? And we'll talk about her because many people out here tonight remember her. You know what? She'd walk to that Stop and Shop down there, and if they cheated her out of 3 cents, she'd be on that damn phone calling the manager, and she'd walk back down there and get it.
That's right.
You know?
Exactly. That's very correct.
And that's how she lived. And that's why she lived and had something when she died.
And she used to walk to work and walk home. And although I was a real young one, and I do remember him, and I was actually there when he passed away, but my grandfather, I believe, he walked to work and walked home as well. Now, I say I don't know that for sure, though.
You know, it would be nice if we could get the other side's opinion on why they do what they do. You know
they
what
won't
I'm
answer, Mike. I've tried, Mike. I've tried. I reached out to my niece Savannah. I reached out to John. Remember, they were all guests on this show a couple times and called in. I reached out to them, but guess what? They know what I want. I want to know what's going on in their lives, and they don't want to talk about it.
I know other ones have other agendas. They think that you're old and you're decrepit and you just fell off the back of that truck and you really don't know what's going on, but they have other agendas that they're not telling you about. And you
That's
know,
true.
It's hard to zip your lip and not say anything when you know something's wrong and you're fairly accurate in what you would say. But if you start to say something, you get your head bit off right away. And you know what?
Well, that's true, Joe. That's true. But at the same time, we all made mistakes. There's people on the line tonight who know we all have. But there comes a point in your life when you got to grow up already, you know?
Exactly. You know? Exactly. When you're in your 20s and everything and you've got nothing, that's fine. When you're in your 30s and you have nothing, there's a problem. When you're in your 40s and you have nothing, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You know, but then we get the older people out there. And I'm not trying to say you guys are old, but we get the elderly people out there. Even Joe in Florida, you know, he's long in the tooth. You know, he's not feeling good. He knows what we're talking about. He remembers his mother. And even Elizabeth Rondo, out who's listening tonight, I know that for a fact since we're talking about family and personal issues here. You know, they know what we're talking about, but yet even sometimes, and I'm not trying to criticize anybody here, they get old and they get stubborn. They say, no, this is the way it is. And, you know, you can't change the horse or the bull that way. You can't grab the bull by the horns.
What you got to do is when you have an elder person, someone senior to you, and you're trying to do something, and they want you to do it their way, you should just do it their way. If it doesn't work, you can discuss it with them. You don't need to bite their head off and totally dismiss what they have to say, because you know what? They're probably right.
Well, yes, I understand that. But in today's world, sometimes the older view is not the right way of doing things. But it's a logical way of doing things. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Here's the logical way it's done today. You wake up and you check your cell phones and everything, and you go out and you spend $17 for breakfast and everything like this, and $24 for lunch and $30 for supper, because you deserve it. And you know what? You very well may. And if you can afford it and get on with your life, good for you. You know, I can go out in the garden just like Mike. I can get my own potatoes. I can get my own garlic. I can get my own chives. I can go up the street, get my own eggs, bake my own bread, and get my own bacon from the pig, and come home and have breakfast every single morning for basically zip.
Yeah, I understand that. But today, the younger people don't have time. They don't have time to go up the street and get all this. They don't have time to go out to the garden and do this. You want to
know
why?
They
got to pay for that cell phone bill. They got to pay for the internet. They got to pay for
DirecTV.
Well, that's
just it. And you know what? And I put in a minimum of 12 hours a day work, 7 days a week doing what I say minimum. Sometimes it's 20 hours a day. It's generally 16. So if we're not talking and having any time to do anything, and I cook all my own meals, and they're all homemade. So there is time. It's just not managed properly.
Well, yeah, time is a managed problem, because you want to know why it's not managed properly? Because we have to have entertainment. We gotta feel good, you know. We gotta be happy, you know. It's my life, right? It's my life. You're not
right.
The boss of me. Who are you? Who
nope.
are you to be
nope.
tell me what to do? You know. But yet, hey, I need help. Can you help me out? I got a flat tire. I ain't got the money. I need help. Yeah.
From the onset, I said I'd be willing to help anybody with free Federal Reserve notes. And if you remember what I said, as long as you can prove to me that you need it. And, you know, if you think you're just going to ask me and you're going to get it, you're not. But you know what? If you really need it, you'll get it. And if we have to go out for breakfast and we have to go out for lunch and have pizzas and go out to movies, and you know what? You're not going to get it.
Well, because they don't need it. You know, and that's the
right.
point. When we get back to the farm. See, this is the difference, though. We get to the city, you know, we get to the city where everything is there for your taking. But when out on the farm, there's nothing out there.
Right.
The only thing that's out there for the taking is you want milk, you go out there into the bulk tank and get it, or milk the cow to get it, you know. And that's the problem.
Well, I'm in the city here. As a matter of fact, you can't get much closer to the city than where I am.
No, I understand that, you know. But I do appreciate the people that did tune in tonight. I really do. And it was an important discussion, because hopefully the younger people can listen. And you know what, Mike? To get back to your original question, I've reached out to the younger people several times, and I'm going to do it a couple more times. After that, I'm going to tell them like it is. And I'm just going to. And when I come around, don't ask me for a free ride. Because you know what? I asked you to help me because people want to hear about what's going on. Because we're trying to help people out there today. We heard horror stories of people that have lost their children. We talked to veterans, on this program. If you can't take the time to call into this program and talk to your family or friends or contribute, when I reach out to you, don't ask me for nothing. You know, so you got a choice to make. You want to be a part of a group that is succeeding and succeed and progress. You know, that's your choice. But you know, sometimes they need tough love. Hey, too bad. That's how I gotta tell you. Because you know what? Everyone knows my past. You know, there was a time when I had nothing, and it was too bad. That was it. Years and years gone. So you got to learn from it. If you don't learn from it, then, you know, like you said, Joe, you know, you're 40 years old. You haven't learned yet. You're in big damn trouble, you know.
Well, okay, Joe, but it's like here in Milwaukee, the last couple of days ago, it was in all over the news and everything, an elementary school teacher had sex with a fifth grader.
Oh, my Lord.
And, you know, and they were interviewing her kind of like, and she didn't see where she did anything wrong. And
wow.
It's like, how are you, why are you teaching our children? I mean, you know, I don't know, I'm speechless when it comes to something like that. I mean, it's, you know.
It's disgusting. It's disgusting. That's why you're speechless, Mike, because you have morals. You know, back when you were going to school, Mike, did you ever hear of any type of story like that?
No, not at all. No,
I didn't either.
Teacher probably knew they'd probably be walking out of there in handcuffs, you know. And
Yeah. I remember going to Wilsey Avenue School. We all know Wilsey Avenue. Can you imagine Miss Marshawn having sex with a student?
No.
Oh, my Lord. I had to put that in there to laugh.
Oh, God. That's a graphic I never want to see.
We all know who she was.
She looks like she was married to Boss Hogg.
Hey, that's good to end up on a good note. I don't mean to criticize Miss Marshawn. She was probably a good woman, but, you know.
I had her in her younger years.
Yeah, I had her in her older years.
Yeah.
Way older.
I'm lucky. I didn't have her.
Well. All right. Well, anyway, listen, we're going to go ahead and get ready to wrap it up. Listen, the next show is Sunday. I'll have us a guest. All right. So, thanks. Hey, Joe and Sebastian Florida, I'm glad you're doing all right with your hip and everything. I know it's painful, and I'm sure he's uncomfortable. A broken hip is no happy experience. But thanks, Mike and Joe and Meriden and Elizabeth Rondo, who's listening in Wallingford. Kurt is listening too, and Meriden. I got him on here, and I got about 20 other people who I don't even know who are listening, so they probably are cracking up laughing right now. But it ended up in a good note, so hey,
good night, everybody.
Please tune into the next show. Trust me, we'll have a good guest.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex.
In Dallas, Texas, three shots were fired at President Kennedy's motorcade in downtown Dallas. The first reports say that President Kennedy has been seriously wounded by this shooting.
It is a big idea. A new world order.
It was almost as if it were a planned implosion. It just pancaked.
Either you are with us, or you are with the terrorists.
But I also believe that a lot of gun owners would agree that AK-47s belong in the hands of soldiers, not in the hands of criminals.
Thanks, everyone, for listening tonight. I really appreciate it. God bless you. If you want to know anything about my life or my kind of belief system, then, hey, pick up a copy of my book. It's called Behind the Walls, by Joel Hodnett. You can go to Amazon.com and pick up a copy of that book. And if you cannot afford to purchase a copy of that book, then email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com. And if you cannot afford it, I promise I will send you a copy for free. Now, if you have a show idea or if you have something you want to say, then by all means, email me at joegibsonishome@yahoo.com, and I will listen to your story, and I promise, if you have something that you need to share, it doesn't matter how important it is or what you want to talk about, I'll give you a slot on this program, and this program is archived, okay? We get hits upon hits, thousands of hits, and your voice will be heard, I promise, okay?
All you ever hear about in this country is our differences. That's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the fucking money. Fairly simple thing happens to work. You know, anything different, that's what they're going to talk about. Race, religion, ethnic and national background, jobs, income, education, social status, sexuality, anything you can do, keep us fighting with each other so that they can keep going to the bank. You know how I describe the economic and social classes in this country? The upper class keeps all of the money, pays none of the taxes. The middle class pays all of the taxes, does all of the work. The poor are there just to scare the shit out of the middle class. Keep them showing up at those jobs.
They're all the same. I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up.
Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
I have this feeling, man, because you know there's a handful of people actually run everything. That's true. It's provable. It's not a fuck. I'm not a conspiracy nut. It's provable. Handful, very small elite run and own these corporations, which include the mainstream media. I have this feeling who's ever elected president, like Clinton was, no matter what the promises you promise on the campaign trail, blah, 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 when you win, you go into this smoky room with the 12 industrialist, capitalist scum fucks who got you in there, and you're in this smoky room and this little film screen comes down and a big guy in a cigar rolled a film, and it's a shot of the Kennedy assassination from an angle you've never seen before that looks suspiciously off the grassy knoll, and then the screen goes up and the lights come up and they go to the new president, any questions? Just what my agenda is. First, we bomb Baghdad. You got it.